My name is Jamie Barron, and I am Chair of Training and Performance Improvement here at Capella in the School of Education. And prior to coming to Capella, I spent about 20 years as a performance improvement consultant, Director of Performance Improvement Services, working in a lot of organizations, doing a lot of contract work. In some cases, we were sought after to come into the organization, and other cases, we had to recruit organizations for various projects and programs that we were working with. So I had opportunities to work with lots of corporate folks, lots of school-based programmings, just about everything in between. Anywhere there are humans working, there's opportunities for performance improvement consultants to come in. So that's my background, very heavily focused on adult education and workforce development. I think it's important to strategically plan how you'll approach an organization. In my situation, I had various situations. In some cases, I was contracted to go into an organization. They sought me out. So I had entree into the management level, and it was very simple to just arrange a meeting and begin work. In other cases, I was tasked with recruiting organizations for particular programs, could be grant initiatives, other initiatives that in many cases the federal government was promoting, and I was tasked with being the performance consultant for those initiatives. So in those cases where these were more or less cold calls, I had the greatest success with focusing on a return on investment sort of approach, approaching organizations with a what's in it for them presentation. So that did take some groundwork, really had to do some researching on the organization, take a look at what's important to them, set up an initial meeting with folks to find out what is their bottom line, what matters most to that organization. And then we, of course, had to make a presentation as to how we thought we could impact that bottom line. So in many cases, I could deal with anything from improving customer service, customer satisfaction. It could deal with retention issues for students or for employees that were costing the organization money for folks who weren't retaining. It could do with improving test scores, reducing waste rates for manufacturing type of organizations. But my job was to figure out what was really important to management and the folks that were approving the work, and then make it very clear to them how we could impact those particular elements for them and how we would present that to them. So it was a very involved, there was a lot of homework involved in approaching an organization. We didn't just walk in there cold. That would have been a death knell to us. We really had to have our homework done and be able to show them the kind of impact we could have. We would generally try to approach initially by phone to set up a face-to-face interview, face-to-face appointment. We preferred to do things face-to-face. We had a strong record of performance improvement with these types of initiatives that we could display, and we felt that was best done face-to-face. That didn't mean that we always got first entree with the highest management level. Sometimes it would be mid-management or supervisory level, but somewhere we wanted to get in that first level, and then we could often work our way up. So oftentimes that would result in two or three meetings, and we were amenable to however they wanted to do that. Some organizations was easier to get to top management than others, just depend how stratified. But again, we made it very clear from the onset that we wanted to impact their bottom line. We felt we could do that. We had a history we wanted to show, and we felt that we could best do that with a face-to-face meeting. And that made them much more receptive to freeing up a little time for us. In many organizations, when you're trying to figure out who's the individual who will make this final decision, you really do have to go through some layers. The bigger the organization, the larger the onion. You have to peel back the layers. Probably the best way to demonstrate that, I'll share a little story with you. At one point, I was mentoring new performance consultants in the field. The federal government paid me, as one of six individuals in the state, to go around and mentor folks to train them to do what I did because they wanted a bigger cadre of folks that were working effectively in the field. So I had a mentee who had been contacted by a huge banking organization, very well-known name here in the city, and was asked if they wanted to competitively bid for a project to come in and do some customer service kind of performance improvement. So she was extremely nervous, and she called me. She said, "Can you help me? This is huge for my first time out of the box. Can you come along with me to this meeting?" So since I knew there would be a number of folks going, I was suspected that it might not be top management. We would be going through a filtering kind of system. So when we got there, we were fingerprinted. Lenses of her eyes were red for identification. We had to nearly be frisked. I mean, it was incredible security. They whisked us up in this private elevator to the top floor. The director of training sat and met with us, asked us to make a presentation and talk about what we could do, and we started the conversation with, "We want to know what's important to you, and we want to impact your bottom line. This is all about return on investment for you." And immediately he said he had to stop the meeting, which I was a little concerned about because typically that's a pretty positive approach with folks. He ran and got a phone with a speakerphone attached, and he put the speakerphone in the middle of the table. He said, "I need to call our VP of operations who's working in the Boston office today and get her on the phone." Called her up. We heard this voice from the phone. He explained what had just transpired, and she said, "I just want to let you know, not only do you have the contract, but I want to know why the other dozen folks that we interviewed had no interest in our bottom line. We're a bank. We're about money. Why wasn't anybody interested in impacting our bottom line? That's what this is about. So she congratulated us. We got a very nice contract out of that. But we definitely had to go through that filtering process and work through the training director to get to that VP who was in an entirely different city. She told the training director she didn't want bothered until somebody started talking return on investment, and then he could call her, and she would get involved with the interview. So they'll set the playing field, and you really need to work your way along until you get to that individual at management that can make the final decision. I think it's very important to approach action research projects without preconceptions. We have a hunch that something's going on or something needs addressed, but oftentimes there's a tremendous backstory in that organization, even if it's your own organization, that you might not be fully aware of that's impacting that performance or impacting those results. Many times I would go into an organization being told that I would be conducting one type of training and then discover that something else entirely was needed to impact the bottom line. I think it's important for those trainees and those participants to trust you. If there's not a level of trust, they're not going to divulge what that backstory is. I'll share one quick story with you. I think illustrates that pretty clearly. I was contracted to come in and work with a number of master carpenters to do remedial mathematics, which sounds extremely odd. It sounded odd to me at the time that master carpenters would not know how to do mathematics, since that's what they do for a living. But there was such a tremendous waste rate at this organization, which was a custom cabinetry business, that the VP was extremely concerned. They were just wasting too much product. It took too much wood to build the products that they bid on, and they were breaking even. They weren't making any money. So the assumption was these folks don't know how to read a rule. They can't read a blueprint, and they're making mistakes. When I got into that organization and those workers began to trust me, I found out that they really did know how to do mathematics. They were exceptionally skilled at it, but they were treated extremely poorly by the management. So their method of retaliation was, we'll figure out exactly where this business breaks even on a contract so we get paid, and then we'll start to waste product after that so that the organization doesn't see any profit, because they're not going to make a profit off our backs when they treat us so poorly. When they treat us better, they'll make more money. So what I was contracted to do and what I ended up doing were two completely different things. It really needed to be some coaching of management versus some remediation for mathematics for some carpenters. You really have to be open and have that sixth sense of something's not right here. I need to dig deeper and find out what the root cause is of this performance issue. And sometimes it's quite surprising. In a situation where what management perceived to be the problem versus what actually is the problem, I think you need to be very careful in how you approach management about that. And again, I always kept my focus on what's profitable to this business, what's important to this business. That's our focus, and everybody's focused on that. In this particular case that I just shared, I brought in an outside consultant to work with management who specialized in those kind of very sensitive situations, but always couched around, your job is extremely difficult, you're under a tremendous amount of stress, we have coaching and strategic training that can help you deal with the situations of being a manager at this level. Let us help you make this business profitable and make this work climate more amenable to everybody that works here. So that was generally well received. I think that communicating of the results is one of the most critical pieces of the work that you'll do, because that's the takeaway that everyone has from the project that's done. My favorite quote is from Jack Phillips of the ROI Institute, who says, if you don't plan to communicate your data effectively, don't bother spending the time to collect it. People really need to understand what happened, and you need to be able to present that in a way that's well received by them. So very early in the conversations with management or whoever the individual was that I was working with, I would spend time talking about what do you expect to see as results and how do you expect those results to be portrayed. What kind of platform can you give me to talk about the impact that we had? And that would include not only the impact at the very end of the intervention, but I would come back, in some cases several months, several weeks later, to make sure there really was a transfer of learning, that people really did implement what we had been training them to do. So I would negotiate all that up front. I would make sure that I had time and I had the resources available. I had access to the people to come back and collect that post-intervention data. Otherwise, I couldn't prove that I had an impact. And as a person who made their living as performance and consulting, that was critical to my survival. So we often had to negotiate that up front, because if things went well, oftentimes it was, well, you know, the production line is going well now, or test scores are increased now, and we're very busy, so we can't have you come back in here. And if that wasn't negotiated in my contract, it could be a problem. So needs to be talked about up front. Need to talk with management about what kind of data they like to see. Are they numbers people? Are they stories people? Do they want to see hard data from production, from waste rates, from test scores? What are they looking for? That way I could be very clear about what kind of baseline I collected, so I knew what the picture was in that organization before I started, and then my post-intervention data. And those two would correlate so that I could show a change, because it wouldn't make any sense not to have that baseline. I couldn't show that I increased or improved anything. I learned a very difficult lesson as a performance improvement specialist, and that was I always negotiated to have a face-to-face meeting about the results. I learned early on that just writing up a narrative report and handing it off to a supervisor often was the end of the interaction with all that work that I had done. No one had read it. The supervisor at that particular level knew things had gone well and we would be done. So I would arrange very early on in the discussions to have a time to come back and present the results. Maybe it was at a board meeting, or maybe it was at a management meeting, or some type of event that they already had scheduled, but I'd want 15, 20 minutes of time to get up and display what we had done. I used a lot of graphic representation of data so that it could be quick. I could show a quick slide with a graph and show, here's where we were, here's how we improved. I used a lot of stories from the participants and trainees and their own voices. I would put their picture up, I would record their voice, them talking about how wonderful this particular intervention had been, so they really could connect with their own people and the impact that we have, and I had hard data to back it up that was displayed in a way that was very easy to read, very easy to communicate, and something that they would take with them. And then I always left them with a hard copy as well, along with my business card, of course, so they could contact me for future work. My greatest advice is don't just hand off a report. Get some FaceTime with people and give them something powerful to look at during that FaceTime that will really help them connect with the results that you had. In the presentation of your data, it's important to remember that academicians will be very interested in the letter of your dissertation, every element of your dissertation, every paragraph, and that you followed all five chapters and that you've met all the criteria of academicians. Management will most likely not have time to sit down and read your dissertation. They tend to like business-oriented type of reports, bulleted statements, graphs, very quick and dirty. I typically had about 15 minutes to present my data at meetings. 15, 20 minutes would be the average. So I couldn't stand there and recite my dissertation. But definitely that work I had done for my dissertation provided me with the background and the confidence and the experience to do an effective executive summary in 15 minutes. The key was I just really had to focus on the results with management. That's what they were interested in. That's what get me back in the door the next time. And I would certainly have all that background available for anyone that needed it. But you really need to communicate effectively for your particular audience. So that can mean a variety of things, whether you're writing an article on the study, whether you're writing the dissertation, whether you're doing an executive summary for management. You really need to be able to massage that data in a way that's effective for that particular audience.